views expressed on the following program of those of its hosts and participants in no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
He's John D. Petro. He's really in the know with his talk show on your
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, good afternoon, folks. The power hour has arrived. John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program brought to you by K's, 1013 Cass Avenue in Woonsocket. Whether it's lunch or dinner, their terrific lounge, you can call them at 762-9675. Open up the napkin and boom, there is the menu. K's, 1013 Cass Avenue. Always do a great job. Special hello to Allison and Nicole and Donna and Ursula and John. They have a tremendous crew there. Stop it and see them. K's on Cass Avenue. I want to say good afternoon to everyone who is listening to the following the program, I should say, on Facebook Live. Hello, Melissa. Facebook Live. Just go to John DePietro Show on Facebook, and it's Facebook Live, and it's brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. EliteWirelessRI.com. You know, during the break, we did have a call from someone asking, how can I get in touch with Sal at Metro PCS? Folks, Sal at Metro PCS, 332-5051. 332-5051. He has four great locations. A very easy, close location, I find, is the Johnston location, which is right next to Johnston Town Hall. Stop in and see him, and he'll take care of you. Well, as I said, we normally do Political Monday, but we had a minor conflict. Therefore, we turn it into Political Wednesday. And joining us right now is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. We say good afternoon to the one and only Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Well, Justin, I want to get your thoughts. There's a lot of different elements to this, but this is this has been quite a stretch of whether it's 7 or 10 days of you had Governor Raimondo in a very soft opening, you know, releasing that video, and there was nothing big and glitzy about it. It was just her. And then since then, you had the unveiled that. And I write about this on DePietro.com, that she, you know, they unveiled her new commercial that starts off in black and white, very slickly done. And she talks about we're making progress, moving forward. But then since then, it has really been one mistake after another. From she contradicted herself regarding the Pawsox Stadium and saying that, you know, the speaker was saying it's a no-risk situation. The governor did an interview and said, well, there's always risk involved and it'd be risk for the state. And then we find out maybe really what was going on is they were distracted over this whole fiasco at DHS. I want to get your thoughts on it, starting with her and how she and her campaign and administration have handled it. But I think one of the problems for the governor has been throughout this whole situation with the problems with UHIP and DHS, this has been framed, or they try to frame it, as a Deloitte computer problem. What we have learned over just the past couple of days with the $24 million deleted email and these lawyers on the state payroll who are actually unable to practice law in Rhode Island, this is not a blame the Deloitte type of situation. This falls squarely on Team Raimondo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, how could it not? What it seems to reinforce is the sense that their main focus is the PR and the fundraising. When you look at all the statements from all the key players, Eric Bean, the secretary for HHS, you know, he was saying, I would have expected to know the status of a case like this. And the question I have is, who stopped you? And meanwhile, the governor's out of state. Just after the HHS story with the lawyer and the $24 million, after that broke, we're hearing that Governor Raimondo has been out of state for some kind of political or job-related reasons for 90 days in the last year and a half. So those stories are coming together, and we talk about this every time something goes wrong, which is often for the Raimondo administration, the narrative that's building is really politically dangerous for her. And if she didn't have so much money, it'd probably be fatal.
I agree with you, Justin, because as I was, you know, and we've talked about, they came in basically as, okay, so she's not the most warm and fuzzy, but they're very competent, and this is a very accomplished woman, very established. Just in the past 48 hours, the word incompetent being thrown around, not only by Republicans, but by, you know, all sides. This is the type of thing where I think it is a fair question, as the Journal reported, 3 months out of state, 90 days. That's a lot of time to be out of state. It is on the fundraising circuit. They could say that it's all economic development, but there's always a fundraiser tied in with. So to me, it's a little bit of the chicken or the egg. Is it really, we're going to do a fundraiser, so I'm going to meet with a company there to kind of cover for it, or is it really, I'm going to meet with a company, we'll throw in a fundraiser? I don't know. But I agree with you. What is fatal about this is if you don't have the door-to-door basic politics, there are different people who enjoyed going out and working the crowd campaigning. If you don't have that, then you better be really buttoned up and run a sharp and tight operation. And instead, the wheels have been coming off. And I also think the way that they handled this whole thing, I mean, on Monday, today's Wednesday, on Monday, as the crisis was coming out, it developed over the weekend, and we were trying to get everyone, the media was new developments every hour, and, you know, he wasn't even supposed to be practicing, he didn't have a license practice law. She was nowhere to be found. Her people were insisting she was in state, and then we come to find out that she was campaigning, really, at the North Providence Senior, Sal Mancini Senior Center in North Providence. And then, you know, throws Eric Bean out and then tries to go on the 6 o'clock news, turns up at 6:20. This is a crisis management of the highest degree. And this is not the we're the smartest room in the crowd narrative that they've liked to, you know, that they've been trying to push forward.
Right. I think that's exactly right. And I the real problem, I think, for her is that the idea most people have of the governor, and because it's the appropriate one and how government's supposed to work, is we elect the governor to work for us, to go in there and run the state. That's the main job of the governor. And that means keeping an eye on keeping an eye on your secretaries and making sure they're on track. And your secretaries then, the people you've appointed as governor, are supposed to be looking down on the people, the state workers doing the work, supervisors and underlings, and making sure all these projects are in order. Instead, and mixed into all that, yeah, they're politicians, so they've got to be reelected. And so you've got your PR people, and they're trying to put the best light on everything you're doing. It seems like for this administration, almost from the start, it's been reversed. It seems like there, and this goes from journalists reporting often about how many PR people are in the Raimondo administration and the campaign, and from that right to the traveling the country, collecting money and raising all this cash, they seem to be focused on the governor's job is to go out there and be a campaigner, not only for herself, but you could also say going out there and trying to woo businesses and stuff. But she's the PR person mainly in this construct. And she's counting on her secretaries and the employees to run the government while she's away, and let her know if anything comes up and any decisions. So she's hands off on running the government and hands on with the PR. And it really ought to be the other way. And I think most people would agree with that. And I think that's the image problem that she has. And even her Democrat in the primaries, Matt Brown, her competition in the Democrat primary, he's tagging onto this too, who's showing, a little bit to my surprise, that he doesn't appear to be angling for a job or anything. He actually is running and trying to push a message.
Yeah.
And he says Raimondo has a pattern of expressing disappointment and blaming others. So he sounds very much like a lot of the Republicans. And this is the defining quality of her campaign, of her governorship. And that's not good. I have to imagine, even if she squeaks this out, because as we've been saying, she's got enough campaign cash to send people out to buy mail votes, essentially. I don't know how that doesn't look very good in the future if she ever wants to do anything else politically in the Senate, U.S. Senate, or even running for president. People are going to dredge this all up, and if Rhode Islanders don't get it, people across the country are certainly going to get that this is not how our system is supposed to elect executives. You're supposed to execute the operation of government, not execute a nonstop campaign.
That is exactly right. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, Matt Brown and his campaign have just sent out a series of tweets on Twitter that I'm going to read to you and then get your reaction. And there's a couple, but it's worth listening to. Today, this is from Matt Brown. I'm announcing that as governor, I will fight to restore cost of living adjustments for state retirees abruptly taken away 6 years ago. Number two, the state promised our teachers, police, and firefighters that pensions would allow them to retire with dignity. I vow to keep that promise. Restoring these benefits is the moral thing to do. Dismantling pensions transferred wealth from retirees to Wall Street bankers and fund managers. Those funds lost millions for taxpayers, cutting expensive fees, $80 million a year, reinvesting in stable, better-performing funds will allow us to afford the COLAs. Matt Brown tweets out, what was sold as courageous leadership, keep in mind, what was sold as courageous leadership, quote, taking on the unions, was in fact an egregious case of kicking the can down the road while rewarding the governor's most generous Wall Street donors. The changes slashed employee benefits $8,000 a year on average while increasing the state's cost 30 times long-term because of outrageous Wall Street investment fees subjecting state workers' hard-earned retirement savings, volatility of Wall Street casino, Raimondo's extreme and unnecessary pension cuts hurt the state, increased costs to cities and towns, hurt our school system, and weakened the pension system long-term while dramatically increasing costs. As governor, I will do all I can to undo those cuts, including restoring COLAs. What is your reaction to that, Justin Katz?
Well, the first thing that has to be said is on the facts and the mechanism of pensions and all that, he's completely wrong, and would be disastrous as governor based on that kind of a point of view. But it does show how Governor Raimondo is not piecing together the kind of story and kind of the narrative about her own activities. She ran as somebody who will fix tough problems, go up against special interest groups, but she's governed as somebody who wants to promote herself, buy off special interest groups, whether it's laborers unions or whoever else might want some money, progressives with her backing of progressive legislation. And that's a weak point for her. And so it's understandable that a Democrat opponent would seize on that. I mean, I recently, at political events around town, the local, I forget the technical term for this, but the local politician who's backing Alan Fung, Randy LeBeau, he's, I think, a retired corrections officer, and he complains about how horrible it was to take away reduced pensions. So it's among that sizable group of people who are affected by that, that's a weak point for Governor Raimondo, which she has to shore up. And she's not doing that. And she's vulnerable there, as Matt Brown's commentary suggests. At the same time, she's not proving competent or gutsy, really, in the way that people more on our side of the aisle would want to see. With people who supported a pension reform, wanted to see other kinds of reforms that didn't just find ways to raise tolls or taxes or shuffle money around with fancy tricks and give away cash to get new or tax credits to get new businesses to move here, crony capitalism and all that. Those supporters who liked the pension reform wanted to see real reform expanded throughout the state. She didn't want to pick a lane, it seems like. And so she's going to be vulnerable on both sides. And the inability of the administration to really get things right on a consistent basis throughout her first term, that's going to come back and haunt her, probably, I would think, in November.
Well, what's interesting is, there's several interesting things about that. Number one, this is going to be a real primary. She may be attacking Alan Fung and trying to attack the Republicans. Matt Brown is going straight for the union vote, and this shows that this is going to be, he is basically going right after what thrust her into the position and what she you know, champion herself as general treasurer. But I'm looking at when she met with the Journal editorial board, the headline was Raimondo makes case for another term as governor, tells Journal editorial board economic momentum kickstarted during her tenure. In the course of that meeting with the editorial board, where, as people know, they go to try to then get the endorsement from the editorial board. Listen to this, Justin. She said, among the hurdles to re-election, her drafting and overhaul of the state's public employee pension system when she was general treasurer and defending it as governor, the fact she's a woman. This is a quote. I think the pension dogs me, she told the Journal. I talk to people who are just angry. There's no other way to put it. They're otherwise Democrats, probably agree with me on 8 out of 10 things, but they're pissed. Now, to me, Matt Brown saying, I'm going to reverse what she did, goes right at the heart of basically what put her on the political map in Rhode Island.
Oh, sure. And it's kind of surprising that this wasn't one of the first things that a legitimate or a credible Democrat challenger would have gone for, because there's clearly a constituency here. There's, you know, people who've been chasing this through the courts ever since it happened, and are going to be looking for somewhere to put their advocacy dollars and their energy. So it's certainly a place for somebody to go. I guess it takes some degree of a progressive that's willing to ignore how crazy it would be to undo the pension reform.
I totally agree with that. But it's this, to me, this is a changing dynamic of the Democrat primary, that Matt Brown is willing to go after that. Because like you, you know, I was speaking with someone who's a Raimondo supporter and a progressive liberal, and they were kind of questioning, is he really in it? Is he looking for a job? What's he looking to get out of this? To me, that says, no, he is looking to beat her in a primary, and he's willing to take it right to her on exactly what it is and, like, throw red meat to the crowd on what it is that really she even admits dogs her, and that's the pension reform.
Yeah, and, well, what he's going for is not only that, she's not going to out-progressive him. He's willing to come pretty close to talking about socializing the entire state. So he's going right to that core sort of Democrat alliance of labor unions and especially public sector labor unions and progressives, far-left progressives especially. And that's where she's weak, in the fact that she hasn't in her base. And the fact that she hasn't shored up a kind of a new coalition with people who want to see things run more efficiently and see reform, that's going to present a problem not only in the primary but in a general if
yes.
It does get there.
Well,
especially, you know, if they end up having to do something like we saw in the last election for the primary against Bernie Sanders in the Democrat primary.
Yep.
If she has to pull some of these tricks with all the cash and setting out mail ballots and stuff in order to win over the Democrat primary, that even if it's only a little part of that campaign, it's going to upset a lot of people who ought to be on her side. We're going to be attacking her, as we saw Bernie Bros attacking Hillary Clinton through the election.
That's right.
That combination, it could be a real trouble throughout the general election.
Well, it's interesting, Justin, because now Howard Schultz, outgoing Starbucks chairman, he said the Democrats are proposing too many expensive policies. He was on CNBC. He ripped the notion of single-payer health coverage, government-backed full employment, and says, how are we going to pay for all these things, such as, you know, the fact that the government is going to give everyone a job? I don't think it's realistic. He is saying that, you know, the progressives, they don't want to hear that. But I think Democrats that I talk to, and this very strong liberal Democrat I talked to said, you know, I think Matt Brown is a pretty interesting guy, but I don't want my taxes to be 75%. What Howard Schultz, the outgoing chairman of Starbucks, is saying is exactly right. The progressives, they are pushing it way to the left. And I think she does have a problem in this primary.
Oh, certainly. And then in the general, there are a lot of Democrats on the more establishment or conservative side that might be perfectly happy with, say, an Alan Fung governorship. So that rift that progressives are really pushing, and that more establishment Democrats, I guess you could say, like Raimondo, they don't really want to grapple with it or pick sides or take a side in that Democrat intramural battle, that's going to be a problem running up against candidates, especially if they're acceptable to state workers or other union types on the GOP side.
Justin, you know what's also interesting? And again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. I want to get your how you think some of the governor's opponents have fared through this whole thing as far as how they handled the fiasco. Obviously, Brandon Bell did very well. But what was what struck me was the on Monday, as all of this was, all hell was breaking loose as far as the $24 million deleted email, the Raimondo campaign's response was to attack Mayor Fung on the ticket scandal from 2013, number one. And then number two, to say, well, Matt Brown, where's he been for the past 10 years? Now, to me, if you're the campaign and you're the governor and you're the one with $5 million, that is, I don't know who made that decision or they felt that that was how they're going to combat this stuff. But that, to me, that is not a winning strategy in any way.
Well, in largest part, because it just doesn't, a competent governor shouldn't have to be turning the tide on challengers, especially as far as the governorship. And the less relevant those responses are, the more people are going to question, well, why are you bothering to ask Matt Brown where he's been, or why are we going after your November competition when he might not even be the candidate, you might not even be the candidate. I think a lot of that, I'm not sure, they must have internal polling or something that tells them that they need to take down those numbers for especially Alan Fung and Matt Brown, and going negative might be the way to do that in their mind. I think we're probably early enough on, because being negative contributes to your own image, especially this far out from the election. So
right.
It's not something she ought to want to do. And what's more surprising to me is that they don't have an adequate positive response to this. And it could even be, I haven't brought this to my advisors as a politician, but it could be as simple as just visibly canceling a bunch of fundraisers and saying, we are here and we're going to fix this mess with the legal deadline that we missed, and we're going to, I'm rolling up my sleeves, campaign is going to the side. And that would be a much more positive response than, well, what about Ticketgate? It goes right back to that notion that she's the full-time politician PR person.
That's right.
And running government is kind of like the secondary thing she has to do in order to continue her political career. And anything they do to reinforce rather than reverse that impression is going to be a net negative at the end, I would have to think.
Yeah, I was very surprised at that. We're going to ask Justin to hold on just for a moment, folks, and we're going to come right back. I want to find out exactly how, what he thinks or who did well as far as this whole Raimondo chaos, crisis, fiasco that continues, as a matter of fact. But I want to remind you about our friends at Mega Disposal. Folks, call them today, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. Mega Disposal is a local family-owned and operated trash recycling collection company, and they have been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. They have various sizes for estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households, even a swing door to provide easy loading of materials. Mega has smaller containers for local businesses or shops that can be emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. If you own a small business, call Mega for your trash and recycling collection services. 866-420-MEGA. Mega Disposal. Local family-owned and operated trash recycling collection company serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Get a dumpster in the driveway for that household construction project, or small yard cleaning, or garage and basement cleanout. Mega Disposal, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. It's John DePietro. We're going to be right back with Justin Katz on this Political Wednesday.
Joe Trillo is the true independent man for governor. As a 16-year state representative, he was a fighter for the taxpayers. He will stop welcoming illegal immigrants that are costing you $272 million a year.
Joe will untie the hands of our police and let them do their jobs. He will cut taxes and reduce regulations that are killing our business.
He will listen to our teachers on how we can improve education.
We need Joe Trillo for our governor.
Check out TrilloForGovernor.com. Paid for by the Trillo for Governor campaign.
Folks, today, tomorrow, this weekend, stop by Rhode Island's number one garden center, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, 3688 Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. You can call them at 295-4399. It is Steve. It is Debbie. Look for their Facebook page, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, Rhode Island's number one garden center. They're right next door to Allie's Tack Shop, right across from Allie's Donuts. Flowers, trees, shrubs, full garden center, and everything is locally grown, homegrown. Remember, buy local. Excellent quality, less expensive since they grow locally. Look for that hanging flower pouch. All colors, just tremendous. They're open 7 days a week. They're open until 5 o'clock tonight. Look for the magnificent outdoor display, landscape construction, mulch delivery, installation, tree and shrub planting, irrigation systems, hardscapes, walks and walkways. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Stop it and see them and look for their Facebook page, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. All right, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. With us again, we continue with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, just over the past couple of days, you had the sinkhole problem out on 195 with the Raimondo people taking heat on that. This Paw Sox Stadium, Mattiello is trying to push it. I still don't hear a lot of response or the public in favor of it. But of the governor's opponents, breaking them down, where right now we have Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, Representative Patricia Morgan, Independent candidate Joe Trillo, Democrat Matt Brown, and also Giovanni Ferrosi. If you wouldn't mind, just walk through, and I'm curious to hear how you think the three of them, because all of them have been sending out statements, doing interviews, going after the governor. Who do you think has been the most effective in really making their point or scoring points, so to speak, against her?
Well, I think one thing that's struck me in the past week or two in Patricia Morgan's campaign, because she has really made the tolls a big issue of hers, and so she's been playing up issues with the RIDOT, DOT, with roadways. And one thing she did this week in response to this this fiasco with the lawyer missing the date at Human Services, she put out an official statement as minority leader in the General Assembly. And I thought that was interesting because she hasn't done a whole lot of that. And I thought it was a great kind of contrast to the governor, who it's very difficult to tell where the campaign ends and her office actually begins. And I think that, I mean, sort of moving across that line a little bit on Patricia Morgan's part emphasized how little she does that and how responsible she is in a sense. And she's also playing up a key point in this, which is that her statement emphasized that the governor's focusing on traveling the country rather than keeping government well run. So that contrast I thought was good. Alan Fung, I thought, he put out the right statement. You know, the governor must go. No real surprises there. And Joe Trillo was, you know, more bombastic than the rest, which is kind of his thing. I thought Giovanni Ferrucci's statement was interesting because he went right to what he clearly believes is his strong suit, which is leadership. And so he commented on how Raimondo is always looking for somebody to blame, make everything seem like it's just a little technical error that we didn't catch that deadline, you know, for filing an appeal at the court. And he's saying it just emphasizes her lack of leadership training and experience, which is true. So I think I don't know that this will make a lot of difference in people's votes as far as the opposition is concerned, but I think Patricia Morgan's been performing, she's had a few strong rounds in the past couple of weeks on various issues.
And I think the fact that the tolls being set to roll out on Monday, she was certainly the voice of opposition behind that. That is certainly a strong point. She gained a lot of support statewide, that famous battle
with Gallison threatening to turn off her microphone. That also plays into the narrative. But I'll tell you, Justin, the Raimondo people, I think that and people had told me they felt they knew that this was going to be a difficult reelection. I think people are saying whether or not people are going to remember this or follow it. I think this is going on 2 years of UHIP. I mean, let's face it, this is June, and it's going to be 2 years in August. The computer thing is still not straightened out. There have been other mistakes there. I think that piled on with, Matt Brown now seemingly today showing, in fact, that he plans to really challenge her and go after her very aggressively. I think this is big problems for the Raimondo campaign, because as you had said and people need to realize is, number one, she does not have great approval ratings. She can't really, they thought Chafee was going to be their problem in a primary. Chafee turned out to be nobody's problem other than just like a fly nuisance. But she cannot afford to attack, because as you know, every time you attack, although it can be effective, your negatives go up. So the Raimondo people, the more that Matt Brown turns this into a real primary, I think it's very problematic for her. In fact, I think as a result of this week and the sinkhole last week on 195, I'm not saying it's her fault, but it's one of those things that happen. Being out of state, more of the fundraising. The commercial. I was going to ask you what you thought of her commercial for 60 seconds. I thought it was actually decent, but God, it seems like a lifetime ago. You know, I think if there was a snapshot poll done today, you would see her approval rating starting to flirt below 30%. The more that Matt Brown goes up, the more that she goes down, this is going to make it really, really difficult for her with a re-election bid in the fall, should she win the primary.
Right, and I think a lot of what we're seeing is what we were discussing earlier, she hasn't really picked a lane or defined her political theory and how she's going to go about things. So everything is a potential vulnerability. So her commercial, I had expected them to avoid the slick commercials. They didn't. They went to one pretty quickly after the non-slick commercial. And that, I mean, maybe it looks like a slick commercial. It makes you feel a little bit better about her for the moment. But then it reminds you that it's a slick PR campaign, and that's a vulnerability for her. And then there's the road work because of the sinkhole. And on one hand, it's not her fault, and she's been trying to be the governor who gets down in the dirt and fixes, finds the money to fix these things. On the other hand, it reminds you that she's paying, I mean, I think it was Channel 12's coverage, swept the camera went across the highway as the reporter was talking about that sinkhole, and you see 8 out of 10 DOT workers standing there leaning on their trucks watching somebody work.
Right.
That sort of thing will remind people in a summer full of road work is just aggravating, even if you end up in the fall with a lot of nicer roads, at least until November, when winter hits, all goes away maybe. But I think every one of these things is like a flip of the coin for her, and they might, and the alliances she has to pull together, each one could win her some union people, but lose her some progressives. Could win her some progressives, but lose her some business people. So she's in a very narrow corridor. And I think this is what, especially to emphasize what you're getting at with Matt Brown, that he's attacking on the left corridor makes it harder for her. There's no safe place for her to balance as she tries to march her way to November. And so I think with all of those, it's going to be very, she's definitely going to have to rely on that money and the ability of money to increasingly to just go out and get you votes and pick them up one way or another without having to actually sell people on your competence.
Yeah, you know, on Lively Experiment recently, and I mentioned it, former Rep Mike Marcello was saying, well, you know, when you sit down with her one-on-one, she's actually very endearing. It's, well, you know, that's fine if you're running to be like the head of the condo board, but unless she's going to sit down with every 1 million people in the state, that is just a poor excuse for someone that has not mastered the art of campaigning, of ingratiating yourself. For them to be saying that she's still, well, she's good in small crowds, and once you get to know her, to me, that is code for just her approval ratings are not there. I don't think they are going to be there. And one last element I'd love to get your thought on. You know, a big part of also her problem that they don't talk about, but it's there, is Governor Allman was not by any stretch of the imagination. Outgoing, he wasn't gregarious, you never saw him. He was just content to eat fast food and then go to the Cape and smoke cigarettes, and he never really seemed to do anything. But the mayor of Providence, while he was governor, Cianci was the mayor. And Cianci, for all his faults, was constantly selling the city and the gondola rides and water fire. And he made the city kind of come to life. And even though he and Almond certainly did not get along, in a way it kind of helped Almond, because the city of Providence, capital city, had some spark and some life to it. What was another problem for me, for I think not for me, but for Raimondo, Justin, is Alorza does her no favors in any way. I mean, I think her job could be easier if she had a competent mayor who was truly moving things forward, improving things in the city of Providence. It's incredible that he basically could still end up running unopposed, but with no real challenger. He does not do her any favors by he you know, all this travel and trips, and people complain about crime downtown and the parking meters and things not working. He doesn't give her any type of bridge that things are getting better.
His main claim to the headlines recently has been disputes with the teachers unions.
With Randy Weingarten in town today, that's right.
Yeah, and so they're going to seem very, very motivated in the next election, even if he doesn't have an opponent. When the unions are aggravated, they're going to go to the polls, and even to just not vote on that one. They're going to want to do something electorally. And so a lot of those are also the people who are upset about the pension issue and with respect to the governor. So the fact that he's keeping them riled up is not a good sign for her. But I think the Almond-Cianci mix is interesting, because it was a little bit before my time paying attention around here to politics, but I don't recall any big snafu. So it's one thing if you're not going to do much, but everything just seems to be running reasonably well, and you can be quiet and go off to the side while enjoying, you know, the Providence Renaissance, if you want to call it that, giving you a boost, which would have been the Almond approach. And then you've got Cianci, who was doing stuff, and you can disagree with his methods and all that, but he was at every Little League opening. He was trying to get things fixed and making it seem like he was solving people's problems. Those are the two kind of approaches that they worked well together, I guess, politically in that time period. But we're not really getting either from Governor Raimondo, and therefore, you know, Alorza is definitely not helping in that regard.
No, and I'm curious to see with Randy Weingarten, very, very controversial leader, American Federation of Teachers. I'm going to be very curious to see if there's some kind of photo op today with Governor Raimondo and Weingarten, because Weingarten, as the Wall Street Journal, they wrote that famous editorial, The Education of of Gina Raimondo, where because of Weingarten, the teachers union made, they've been in this huge dispute in New York City regarding a hedge fund, big hedge fund guy that funds a lot of the charter schools, and they've had matching billboards back and forth attacking each other in Times Square. He's a brilliant guy, but he really believes in charter schools. And Weingarten, he was delivering a 25% return. Daniel, his name escapes me, but anyhow, 25% return for Rhode Island on their investment fund, and Raimondo pulled the money because of pressure from Randy Weingarten and the teachers union. And then you have Seth Magaziner like, hey, you know, throwing a parade because the investments are up 2%. So she is in town today for the Providence teachers. I'd be curious to see if at some point Raimondo is with her, or if Matt Brown is going to be with her, or maybe she meets with both of them. Folks, he is, in fact, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, great job, as always, and we'll talk to you again.
It's fun, as always, and I look forward to it next time.
All right. Thank you, Justin. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Daniel Loeb is his name. Daniel Loeb. A big hedge fund guy in New York, but has donated and raised millions for charter schools to help the kids in Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, in Harlem, some of the worst public schools in America. And this Randy Weingarten, American Federation of Teachers, of which the Providence Teachers Union and Warwick are part of it, fight him tooth and nail to try to stop charter schools in New York City.
where they're basically just organized daycare centers. She is in Rhode Island today. I will be curious to see, is there going to be a potential photo op where Matt Brown is going to sit down with her or try to at least get a photo with her, and or is Governor Raimondo going to meet with her? But the Wall Street Journal had written that famous editorial, The Education of Gina Raimondo. Daniel Loeb, he was investing money for the state. The returns were upwards of 25%. And Governor Raimondo, or no, General Treasurer Raimondo, pulled the investments from his investment firm because of pressure from this Randy Weingarten and the teachers union. And now, at the State House, Seth Magaziner, they're thrilled if they get a 2% return. This guy was delivering 25% return on investment. 25%. And then he laughed, like, I was doing it as a favor to you people. And instead, the Raimondo pulled it out of pressure, as the Wall Street Journal wrote, from Randy Weingarten, who's in town today. Big, very controversial, big head of the teachers union out of New York City, who's been, who's in town today for the Providence teachers. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. All right, we can take your phone calls. No more guests from now to the top of the hour. 766-1380. 766-1380. I want to say good afternoon to everybody at Grow It Green, Southern New England's indoor garden supply shop. They carry the industry's top name brand equipment, Sunleaves, Hydrofarm, Sunlight Supply. Grow It Green. They specialize in hydroponics, soils, nutrients, lighting, ventilation, and most important, knowledge and experience. Grow It Green. They supply quality products and reliable information to hobby gardeners and MMJ patients. You can call Grow It Green at 508-883-GROW. 508-883-GROW. Located 122 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. They're open 7 days a week. Grow It Green, Southern New England's only five-star rated indoor growing supply store. 20 years experience. Competitive pricing on all major brands, lighting brands, nutrient brands. Friendly, educated staff, able to assist with all aspects of your grow. Consultations are available. They're open 7 days a week. I received a nice email from Jen in Cumberland, who writes, Dear John, love the show, listen each day. I am, in fact, a hobby gardener. I used to drive 30 minutes to get my supplies until you told me about Grow It Green. They are 10 minutes from my house. The staff is terrific. They have everything I need. Thank you for the heads up. You're very welcome. Grow It Green, 122 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. Call them at 508-883-GROW, 508-883-GROW. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. So Governor Raimondo, certainly, though, really under fire, one snafu after another, and we're not even done yet trying to find out how many other lawyers are on the payroll. Think of that. They're receiving checks, practicing law. Their title is chief legal counsel, which means then they're entitled to even higher pay. One guy getting $100,000, and they are not even licensed to practice law in Rhode Island. That falls on the governor. That is incompetence. That is her fault. She can try to point fingers all she wants. That falls on Queena. 766-1380. A lot more ahead on the John DePietro Show.
Conservative fighter, proven leader, delivering real results for Rhode Island. Patricia Morgan, an educator and lifelong community leader. Growing up in a working-class family and owning a small business, Patricia understands the importance of hard work, responsibility, and helping her neighbors. In the legislature, Patricia fought for taxpayers against tolls and PSOC bailouts while strengthening education for our children and grandchildren. And no one has fought harder to end the politics as usual and the corruption that is hurting every Rhode Islander's future. Patricia Morgan will bring common sense solutions to the governor's office, helping struggling Rhode Islanders earn and keep more of their paychecks. But due to years of failed leadership, our cost of living has skyrocketed, forcing people to leave Rhode Island. We all deserve better. That's why we need a leader like Patricia Morgan, who will help turn the ocean state around and put Rhode Island back on top. Paid for by elect Patricia Morgan.
K&R Auto Salvage, good afternoon to everybody at K&R. K&R Auto Salvage, large facility offering used car parts. Call K&R today. Family business, close to 30 years serving their customers. 353-9200. K&R, wholesale used auto parts, guaranteed quality. They'll pay you the highest price for your junk car. You can rely on K&R. Call K&R Auto Salvage today, 353-9200, 353-9200, K&R Auto Salvage, 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence, right off of Middle Spring Avenue, K&R Auto Salvage. All right, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. 766-1380, 766-1380. You can email me, John@DePietro.com, John@DePietro.com. Let's go back to your phone call, 766-1380. Email is John@DePietro.com. Back to the phones. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
You were speaking about lawyers working for the state that may not be licensed. How about teachers in these mayoral schools and these charter schools? Who's checking on their certification?
Well, there's a difference now because, for instance, certain certifications, if you want to be a teacher in a public school, you have to have certain certifications. I don't believe, for instance, in a private school, you have to have the same certifications.
But they're not private. They're being paid by the state. They go under the mandates of the state.
The charter schools, you mean?
Charter and mayoral. That's not private. When the taxpayers pay for it, that's public.
Well, I don't know. Do you have information, or are you just asking this out loud?
No, someone on more than one occasion has called me, and they're saying, well, first of all, if you have 300 students, why do you need a superintendent, a principal, an assistant principal? And the classes are about 15.
You mean for the charter schools?
Yes. And
Are you for or against charter schools?
I am for, actually, I'd rather have the
voucher system.
Yeah, I'd rather have that, to be very honest. If you're going to have that, all private schools should be eligible for it as well. But he came to me, he could not even find teaching credentials in the state, never mind an administrator's credentials.
I don't know. That's a very, very good question, though. Who would be keeping track of something like that?
Well, if the state's giving them these licenses, they keep track of teachers and superintendents. And let's say you get a job, but you know you're finishing your school in the summer and you'll have your credentials. They can make that allowance. But if you have someone that's worked for 4 years and still doesn't have certification in the state, something's wrong. Because it is not a private school. It comes out of, we have to pay for students to go there.
Charter schools are held to the same requirements by the Rhode Island Department of Education. You need to be certified to teach. Private, you need a master's. So that's the answer to that.
Well, I'd like someone look into it because I get no answers. They don't even call you back from the state.
Well, but, you know, we could also ask, you're talking about charter schools, but what about regular schools? Who's checking to make sure all these teachers have the proper certification?
When you go into a private school, you have to have that piece of paper.
Wait a minute. Are you saying a public school or a private school?
Oh, public schools, I can't tell you.
Okay.
I know years ago in private schools, you didn't even need a college education.
No, you did not. I mean, I remember being at Bishop Hendrickson, and a lot of the coaches were the teachers. They were college educated, but they had no background in teaching. They were hired as a coach, and then they would then learn to be a teacher. And then the same thing when I went to St. Paul's School. They would have various substitutes and things like that. Maybe they had some teaching experience, but they certainly didn't have all the requirements you need in order to be a public school teacher.
I'll tell you, if the voucher system comes into being, that may have to be changed.
You're right. That's a very good point. What do you think about the state having people on the payroll as attorneys and they don't even have a license to practice law in Rhode Island?
Guess what? They should be heavily fined. You can't practice law. If you're representing yourself, that's one thing. You can in a court of law. You can represent yourself. But you cannot represent anyone else. There was a lawyer, a person, not too long ago in Providence, representing himself as a lawyer.
Yes, do you remember that?
And he
that?
Wasn't. Yeah. And he got in trouble.
Yes. And the same thing, you know, years ago, there was this guy, I don't know if you remember, his name was Cullen, John Cullen. He worked at a carpet company. He opened up an office and he got a diploma online from some
college off the coast of Africa.
That's right.
And he started wearing, do you remember that? He started wearing a lab coat that said Dr. Cullen. He was even advertising Rhode Island Monthly. And this is how pathetic this guy was. He was taking cancer patients who were told basically they were terminal, but he had a secret green drink that could cure them. He was sentenced to 10 years for fraud in federal prison.
And you know, the other day when she, instead of addressing a problem in the state, when they found out about this person who did not have proper credentials and had made a big mistake as far as a case that had to be, you know, presented the paperwork so that they could fight it, she goes to a senior citizen center in North Providence. Yep. Instead of calling a press and he was allowed to, you know, if he is allowed to get a pension, let me tell you, you will see a mass picketing of that state house.
Well, he should not. I mean, the guy absolutely should not be allowed to.
It was fraudulent.
Yeah, no, it was totally fraudulent, and he should be charged. You know, thank you for the call. I want to play, folks. Today is, in fact, D-Day, and I want to play. Andy Rooney had that great piece regarding D-Day, and I'd like to play some of it for you right now on the John DePietro Show. Hold on, folks. Here we go.
One measure of Andy Rooney's influence was the number of comedians from Joe Piscopo to...
Hold on, folks. I'm sorry. I just had it. Here we go. Wait a minute. What is wrong? Here we go. Nope. All right. Good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the anniversary of D-Day. This is Andy Rooney. Andy Rooney wrote a... he did a great commentary on D-Day. Here we go.
Really clear what D-Day was. Let me tell you, it was a day unlike any other. There have only been a handful of days since the beginning of time on which the direction the world was taking has been changed in one 24-hour period by an act of man. June 6th, 1944 was one of them. We all have days of our lives that stand out from the blur of days that have gone by. This is one of mine, if I may impose it on you. I landed on the beaches of France 4 days after D-Day, 35 years ago. No one can tell the whole story of D-Day. Each of the 60,000 men who waded ashore that day knew a little part of the story too well. To them, the landing looked like a catastrophe. Each knew a friend shot through the throat, shot through the knee. Each knew the first names of five hanging dead on the barbed wire offshore. Three who lay unattended on the beach as the blood drained from the holes in their bodies. They knew whole tank crews drowned when they were unloaded in 20 feet of water. There were heroes here no one will ever know because they're dead. The heroism of others is known only to themselves. The 1st Division Rangers climbed the rock face of Point de Ho with the Germans on top firing down into them. And getting to the rock at all was hard enough. Across the channel in England, the war directors were remote from the details of tragedy. They saw no blood. From the statistician's distant view, the invasion looked like a great success. They were right. We're always defeated by statisticians, even in victory. What the Americans and the British and the Canadians, don't forget the Canadians, were trying to do was get back a whole continent that had been taken from its rightful owners. It was one of the most monumentally unselfish things one group of people ever did for another. It's hard for anyone who's been in a war to describe the terror of it to anyone who hasn't. Here, the battleground guide says when the tourists come, they fought the bloody battle for the beach. He talks on with a pointer in his hand to a busload of people about events that never happened in a place they never were.
Folks, it's John DePietro. John Dion is next. I'll see you tomorrow.